Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 303.
Nice, a palindrome of sorts.
Of sorts.
Are numbers palindromes as well, just like words?
I think so.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Oh, no. I think.
It's like a...
If like B-O-B...
I mean like 100001.
It's almost...
Well, it's binary.
It's almost existential.
Yeah.
That question.
You guys are using big words.
I don't know. So,
don't worry. The movie's not that hoity-toity.
This might be our earliest tangent ever.
It was about 30 seconds.
Yeah,
in.
Well, that's pretty good.
But I didn't even get through my opening spiel, and we're tangenting.
Not even about anything important. Just
I didn't even say if we're doing a movie or what we're doing.
We're just talking.
We're talking about the existential crisis behind palindromes.
Yeah. Numerical palindromes. So it is the box office report for the week ending August 13th, 2017. So there we go. I guess before we dig in, we will go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. We are down one Dan.
We're Danless.
We are Danless. So it's going to get crazy. It's going to be all sorts of offensive things said on this one.
Don't you worry.
Yes, you're going to have to seek solace in Charlottesville.
Oh, no. I don't think that's a good idea.
No, we're not going to do that.
No.
That's not the kind.
What time is that edit marked, Kevin?
Yeah, that's not typically the end of the offensive spectrum we tend to work.
That is not.
Occasionally on accident.
Sometimes it happens on accident when you refer to apes and or monkeys.
Yeah.
And then we go from there.
It's like, that's not how I meant that
that's
to
not
sound.
That's not what I meant. Please. I was actually talking about, never mind.
I'd like a do-over.
Yeah. There's a reset button on this, right?
That's why. Thank God these aren't live.
So, no way we'd be on the radio, that's for sure.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Yes. So, where was I at? Oh, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes where you can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. We do have a new review.
Oh.
Oh, looks like no emoji movie
no
today,
emojis.
Guys.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, and that was the only chance. So,
yeah. So this is from, let me enlarge my screen, Fireheart47.
That's a good name.
Yeah.
I like that.
And they say, I've always listened along with my brother Dustin from Nerds at Night Gaming.
Ah!
So they got a shameless plug within our shameless plug.
That's right.
They just inceptioned the whole thing.
Thank you, Dustin Jr.
And now I've started
listening. You think his brother's name is Dustin Jr.?
I don't know.
What? That's not how that works.
No.
Is he from Arkansas? Like, what is going on? What do you think is going on in Dustin's family tree?
From Charlottesville? I don't know. So, not everybody from Charlottesville. Let's put that.
Yes. Yeah. So, it's, he or she said, because I don't know if it's a brother or a sister. Dustin's the
brother.
It's a brother. But it could go either way. Yeah. We don't know. And
just call him Junior for now.
Sure. Let's probably not. Let's
just avoid that altogether.
Yeah. That might not be a good idea for fan engagement. And now I've started to listen to them on my own as well to pass the time during work. keep up the awesome reviews, guys. So thank you, Dustin's brother.
Yeah, not Dustin
who
Jr.
Who is not Dustin Jr. Also, don't forget, you can join our League of Show Sharers. You can do that at our Facebook page at facebook.com/realspoilers. And you can also join the group.
Yes.
League of Show Sharers. So you can find the group at our page or just type in League of Show Sharers. People that were kind enough to share the show over the last few weeks, because we missed a couple because we recorded
early.
We recorded early. So here we go. Linnea Thunsell, Chris Sanders, Brad Hyatt, Travis Tewitt, Jason Weesey, Brandon Coleman, Tammy Sherman Powers, Julianne Jordan, Tom Comiskey, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming. That's two for him. Greedy bastard. Brent Smith, Griffin Fox Smith, no relation. Brett Schulte, Timmy Two Zooms, Librarian Cynthia, Richard Lawson, Zach Bach, Lane Levanway, Brian Kelly, Nick Scott, Chris James, and Ming Bain. So thank you guys for sharing the show.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah.
And spreading the word.
Lane's an international show sharer.
That's true.
That is true. So that's, yes.
He's in London.
He's spreading the word.
He went over there to put fluoride in their water to help with their teeth.
Which is funny because we actually started in the UK.
That's true. We did.
Even though we're in the U.S., we started in the U.K.
That is true.
We had mostly British listeners.
We did.
Yeah.
So it's kind of come around full circle.
Then it turned out they were bots.
Well, not all of them, though. No, I mean, there were some weird numbers because of, like, Acast was just starting. And Acast, if you don't know, that's where we host our podcast. And it is a U.K. company. And now it has a U.S. branch. And there's, you know, it's in the States officially. And we go through that office now. But we started off in the U.K. And we would look at our demographics. And, you know, many of you may still be listening. Maybe not. But we found out there
they
were...
fell off a long time ago.
But, yeah, so there were mostly... We were in the U.K. We were a big deal in the U.K., yeah, as we used to say.
We were getting tons of listeners.
I was gonna say,
there.
And then Skip to the End happened. And they killed us.
Yeah. Maybe Skip to the End where the listeners and like, we can do this better. Yeah,
right. We can do this better and not have a weird accent.
Yeah. That's true.
So anyway, but no, we appreciate when you guys share the show, let your friends
great.
Know, and it just helps get the word out. So,
and tell your brothers.
Yeah, tell you. Yeah, force your brothers to listen.
Yeah.
It's working slowly but surely.
Slowly.
Yeah.
It's adding. We only did 303 of these things.
Yeah, so by the time we get to like 1800 episodes, we will have 6 new listeners.
That's right.
Did I do the math right on that?
I think carry the 4.
Carry the 6.
Yeah, that's right.
If we were in Germany, you'd make my buck.
Yeah, I was told there'd be no math.
Yeah. So anyway, that is it for all of our shameless plugs. We will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. And it looks like this week is one of those rare weeks where the movie of the day is number one at the box office. $32.5 million for this prequel, sequel.
It's a prequel to a prequel. That's what it is. It's prequel to the prequel.
So Annabelle is a prequel, and then
so,
this is a
so
prequel to that.
Annabelle, the doll shows up in The Conjuring.
Okay.
And then they spun that off to give you what we thought was the origin of Annabelle. And then this is a prequel to that, which
okay.
is the actual origin in the cinematic.
Interesting. Okay.
Stuff.
So, well, either way, whatever it is, $32.5 million on a $15 million budget.
Blumhouse special.
They're up in the budget on these things, though, but still, I mean, it's already made over double, and, you know, it's...
Luckily, they signed that doll to a 4-picture deal.
Well, you had to do it in the
beginning. There's no way they'd get this done for 15.
Absolutely not.
The foresight there was just amazing.
Jason Blum was on point.
Yes.
Yeah, he knew.
There you go. So, I think that's a pretty good opening, and it was really a weak...
movie?
I'm not sure, but you know, as far as the competition goes, it's really just one kids movie that we'll get to, and then a bunch of you know, second, third weeks in the top 10. So
and mediocre second and third, like mediocre films in their second and third week.
Exactly. You know? So anyway, we'll see what that continues to do, and that will be on next episode. But until then, number two, Dunkirk, another $11 million. This movie's still making money. 36% drop in week 4. It is now at $153 million domestic. Overseas, it picked up a lot since we last talked about its box offices at almost $200 million foreign. So we're looking at approaching $350 million worldwide on a $100 million budget.
That's a shame.
Yeah, that movie does not deserve all that money.
You know, I wonder if...
I think it's just... there's not a lot out.
Yeah, that's true. But I wonder what the reaction to this movie from the British... viewers are.
I think
like
I think the British love it. I think it's everybody else.
I gotcha.
The French are like, hey, we were there doing
stuff.
And, you know,
In the UK, it has made $50 million of that what, 150 million foreign take. So there's 50, which makes sense. It's made in France 13 million.
Like, no.
Australia 13 million. And South Korea 20 million.
They love American movies?
I mean, one is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, 20 million in South Korea?
20 million in South Korea. It opened to 9 million.
They may not have another opportunity to see movies in the next.
South Korea is a very developed country.
I know. I mean, when North Korea bombs the crap out of them.
You're saying they're getting all their movies?
Yeah, like they're trying to get them all in. We've got to see these now, because I don't know if this is going to... He may limit what we can see.
Oh.
We have to see one of his home movies that he says won Best Picture 7 times in a row.
So, anyway, it's interesting. I'm not exactly sure what that's about, but it definitely is making a decent amount of money. And
I guess all the military bases in South Korea?
Maybe. You know, one thing that we can say about Christopher Nolan, and usually it's that he makes very good movies, but one other thing that we can always say is his budgets are pretty modest. The guy is a great filmmaker, and he always comes in under budget.
Thrifty. And an efficient filmmaker.
Yeah, he is. So and he does a lot of practical effects, which, you know, most people use CG because it's cheaper than practical. So somehow he just, maybe, I think we've talked about it before, maybe he just plans everything out to a T.
Yeah.
And especially with, I guess, some of the twists and turns he does, it's like you have to have the shots planned out. You can't say, oh, maybe I'll have this clue in here and
does
maybe I'll skip that.
Does his brother direct?
Mm-mm, just write.
Just writes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Westworld. He created Westworld with his wife.
Buddy.
And that's quite a show. Spring 2018.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
So to go back to Annabelle real quick, they had a 4-minute trailer for It. They just showed you the whole scene between Georgie and Pennywise. You get a look at whatever that Skarsgård is, what his take is going to be. We've said before they may have something. I'm willing to bet this is going to be after seeing it, that 4 minutes, it's like, oh, like it's going to make a bunch of money.
I agree. I think it's going to make a crap ton of money too. And the thing I don't get about it, what is different between this and every other horror property, every other horror remake based on another property? Like, why is this getting so much buzz and attention? I'm not saying it won't be good, but this seems so different than everything else.
It's a very beloved book.
Yeah.
It's
a beloved TV movie too.
Like, which that shouldn't
got,
be.
It from, shouldn't, but it got, man, that thing got rented
sure.
like nobody's business at Blockbuster.
But from the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, it's old.
90s, the 80s?
It's the 90s.
Well,
believe,
okay. Yeah.
The only thing I can figure is that it really looks like they're doing it right.
Yeah.
You know, there really haven't been,
there hasn't been a big studio horror flick that a studio has gotten behind in a long time. Like, it's been Blumhouse. It's been Blumhouse since Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
The other studio, like Warner Brothers, Sony, they have not.
Well, like with the New Line stuff. So like Friday the 13th or the Jason stuff, mm-hmm. like how those, I mean, I know that people in the horror community get excited and they love that stuff, but like, I just, those are huge characters. And I don't remember when Friday the 13th with, you know, the kid from the Bad News Bears came out. I don't remember
that
people being
on Elm Street.
Was that? Yeah, okay, sorry.
Nightmare on Elm Street, they rebooted it into not.
But I don't remember anyone being like, oh my God, this is Friday the 13th.
Because I think the problem is when you recast Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, that is a huge.
Like, and you don't get Robert Englund, there's going to be backlash because that dude was Freddy Krueger.
But that's horror nerds. Most people, they don't know who Pennywise is. I mean, we know it's Tim Curry. But what I'm saying is that I just think that there'd be more buzz around it for the public, because I'm guaranteeing you that all this It buzz is not because of horror nerds. It's everybody's talking about it, right?
They put out a hell of a trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of his most popular books.
Yeah.
You know,
everybody knows it.
It's up there with like The Shining and Carrie.
I think Pennywise is probably one of the most recognizable villains.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's the clown thing. You think that maybe so many people have an immense fear of clowns that this is one of the most evil, villainous, just pieces of imagery in horror.
But he doesn't look the same. Like that the clown in this one doesn't look like Tim Curry.
Sure.
Like there's nods to him for sure, but I think they've updated the look so he doesn't look like Tim Curry.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe it's just the clown thing, though. Maybe that's the thing where people identify, like, even non-horror nerds. It's like, what's the most terrifying thing that you could imagine? It's like evil clown.
Tim Curry and clown makeup. Yeah.
So, well, that's interesting.
Or drag, I guess.
I think it also helps that it looks like, so far, everything we've seen, it looks like they're doing it right.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think as much as people liked that TV movie, like, I mean, I remember watching the TV movie and not being happy with it, but I will say it really wasn't until about two-thirds of the way through that I started to be like, they're not really doing this well.
Oh, I see.
You know, like, yeah. And I thought it was well cast, especially for the
was
era.
John,
in which
was John Ritter and Annette O'Toole?
John Ritter and
Harry Anderson?
Harry Anderson's in it, and yeah.
Is it Annette O'Toole?
It's been a long time.
The gal was Lana Lang in Superman 3.
Yeah, But it was well cast, and but it still got that problem with the ending. That ending
that's
going to
be interesting. I'm interested. So this was, I think, Carrie
two. It gets weird on two very different levels.
Yes. Yeah. So Cary Fukunaga, who directed the first season of True Detective, was attached to this. Like, he was, I think he got like mostly through development, and then he left the project due to creative differences, and then they brought this new guy on. And they're saying this new guy is going to be like Warner Brothers' new Ben Affleck.
Oh, wow.
Like
so they'll love him for 18 months and then replace him?
Yes, that sounds about right. Yeah. That's the way Warner Brothers works, though.
Yes.
Like, you know.
He's their Conan O'Brien.
Never got a fair shake.
Yeah.
Never did.
You know, what's funny is, so at Universal Studios, I guess you probably haven't been back since the new ride with Jimmy Fallon was created in Florida.
No.
Because it's fairly new. So when I was just there, I was on that ride, and it's a really good queue. So the queue, it looks like NBC Studios, you know, or 30 Rock. You've right. got all this memorabilia. They have, like, TVs and old cameras that were actually used with Johnny Carson. Right. So really neat studio look, and you go up an escalator, and then there's actually a like a barbershop quartet or quintet.
Okay.
And it's like they've been on the show before, I guess, and they're called like the Ragtime Gals.
Oh, yeah.
It's all guys.
Things with them.
Yeah, and it's hilarious. But in the queue, there's a live performance every like 5-10 minutes. These guys come out and do like rap.
They do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I've seen they do like R. Kelly's Ignition remix.
Yeah,
I've seen
like
Jimmy Fallon do
History of Rap that they do, and then the musical instruments with kids. So it's really great queue. And but interestingly enough, on the side, when it shows the history of the Tonight Show, it's like Conan's up there.
He has to
and
be.
I get it, I mean, but I'm just like, oh man, that, I mean,
was he really only there for 11 months?
I thought it was it even that long?
I thought it was shorter.
I'm just like, yeah. Oh my gosh, just the fact that he's up there, I just feel like it's such a time that obviously Conan's not happy with, and it just seems
but
weird.
He landed on his feet, though. Like, I'll give him credit. Like, the dude bounced back pretty, like, he was off for a minute.
Not for very long.
But not for long. And then he came back with the beard.
Yeah.
And did you see the Letterman's coming back?
With for a small.
For something tiny on Netflix.
But I was just like, all right. Like, I'll watch it.
I think it's kind of like how Jay Leno came back with that, like, Jay's Garage. I don't think it's going to be like a talk show or anything. It's going to be something.
Well, a little something else. I still think Letterman's great.
But yeah, I mean, you can't ignore it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you did ignore it, I think it would look weirder than if you did.
Controversial, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just was like, oh, Conan, I almost forgot that happened. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get the 10 o'clock time. Well, so in St. Louis, it's 10:30.
Oh, it's 10:30 everywhere. Well, it's 11:30 or 10:30. 11:35, right. Technically, but yeah.
Did he get that time slot? Or did they automatically move him to
the 9
o'clock?
I thought they moved it up or something. Wasn't there a time period where it was 10
like
instead
9.
of 10:30?
No. So what they did was, so they had Conan at this. They had Conan at locally 10:35.
Right.
The national time is 11:35. And so they had Conan in the 11:35 slot, and then they turned
your mic's like, no,
need some Cialis for this mic stand. Then they turned around and hired Leno to do basically a clone of the Tonight Show at 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock our time.
Right.
Every night.
That's
it was a nightly show.
Yes.
5 nights a week. Because they thought, oh, well,
He'll lead it in.
Well, people love Leno, and then this is cheap programming, and if it works, it gives us 5 nights a week that work. And then obviously that really undercut Conan, and it was kind of like, and he had a pay or play deal, like that. He was like, if I don't do it for X amount of time, you have to pay me, like, it was like $40 million or something.
A lot of money.
And so this was kind of their end run around that, to have their cake and eat it too.
Ah.
And then the Jay show tanked. They didn't like what the Conan show was doing numbers wise, and so then they put Leno back, and they basically paid Conan off. They were like, okay, here's your 40. Get out. And so, and then there was that weird period where he had like 6 weeks of television where he knew he was leaving, and which is weird that they left him on. But yeah, I guess they had to because they needed something to fill the slot.
And then,
you know?
And then Fallon came in after that.
And then Leno went back to the Tonight Show for like 2-3 years, I guess.
Yeah.
And,
oh my God.
And then he retired for real. And then, and in the meantime, Fallon had stepped into late night, which was Conan's slot.
Right.
And then when Leno retired for real, then Fallon slid into the Tonight Show.
That's right.
And then Seth Meyers went to late night.
Okay.
And so
are they thinking that Seth Meyers is, well, I guess Fallon's in for until
he'll be in for
I don't think Seth Meyers will ever get the Tonight Show because one, I honestly I like Seth Meyers. I don't think he's good
enough.
I don't think he's good enough either.
Two, they're too close in age. Right.
That's
so, like,
true.
By the time Fallon retires, Seth Meyers is going to be they're not going to want to put in, like, Seth Meyers is probably mid 30s. I'm spitballing. I'm thinking
40,
five
maybe.
To 10 years younger than Fallon, maybe.
OK, so Fallon is in his 40s.
Yeah.
OK, let's ask. How old is
at least 20?
Yeah. At least 91
Fallon.
So many books.
So Jimmy Fallon is 42.
OK.
And then how old is...
I would say Seth Meyers
is
probably...
I think he's right around there.
I don't think he's... Myers. I think he's a few years older than me.
I'm going to say 40.
He's a year older. He's 43.
Wow.
There's no way, because if Jimmy Fallon, you know... They're
going to end up having to be like, where's Carson Daly?
Jimmy Fallon's going to probably, you know... And Jimmy Fallon loves the gig.
Yeah, he's
there
at
is
it.
No one that understands this day and age media and humor better than Fallon.
And so I think Fallon stays there until he doesn't want to be there. So
that's
I'm thinking
true.
He's staying there until he's at least 60.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to hire another 60-year-old to replace him.
No,
like you're going to want
the next guy.
You're going to want to bring in the next voice of a generation, or voice of a generation might be a little too
I don't know,
that's
man.
A little
I mean,
much to
like,
throw at Fallon.
I've been watching Fallon since I was in my teens.
But I don't know that he's the voice of a generation.
That's
probably
true,
you know. But but you're going to want to bring in somebody that speaks to that next generation, and you don't want to put all this muscle behind somebody that's 60 that's going to do it for five
years
and
that's
be done.
True.
Yeah,
that's
so
a good point.
So I don't think Seth probably, you know, barring a tragedy of some sort in the Fallon camp, I don't think Seth Meyers has any designs on.
No, probably not.
On
I guess
that
he, I mean, why wouldn't? I mean, he's. I'm sure he's happy where he is too.
The real question for me for NBC and late night, especially now, is. What happens when Lorne Michaels dies? Because
is there any? He doesn't have like an underling.
If he does, I've never heard the name. Like he's pretty hands on, and
he does that. He's got his hand in everything.
He completely controls NBC Late Night now.
Yeah,
because when Fallon took over Late Night,
he moved to Late Night.
He took over the Late Night franchise,
right.
And then when Fallon slid into the Tonight Show, he took over that as well. And obviously, you know, Conan was his placement. On late night, Conan was a writer for SNL.
Right. He was a Simpsons writer too.
And he was the one who pushed for Conan, and so I think that's why when Conan left, that because I don't think that was a Lorne Michaels show with under Conan, but when Conan left and they went to Lorne and they're like, well, who should we get next? And he was like Jimmy Fallon, and like he.
Oh, I see.
Like, he pushed for that, and, like, that kind of brought that under his umbrella. And then when that did really well and the Tonight Show exploded, you know, like, in a bad way.
You mean the Leno one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they, the whole Conan Leno fiasco, and then he took that over, too. And so...
Man. And so he's only off on Sundays.
I mean, pretty much, yeah. I mean, and the other thing is, they all broadcast out of that building.
That's true.
So he's got his own little fiefdom there.
He's got a new one, too. The Weekend Update just went primetime.
Yeah, they've tried that before. Right now, it's just a summer thing. But
these two guys... I think they're...
But they were doing it with Seth Meyers and Amy Poehler in primetime. Yeah, and it didn't click.
Oh.
And so, they tried it during an election year or something. They've tried this before. Like
It was funny. It was a good first episode.
A little half-hour thing.
Yeah. I was wondering how I on YouTube...
It's like John Oliver.
I was going through YouTube, and it had like newer topics on Weekend Update, and I'm like, how SNL's not on? Like, I was curious how
that
was happening.
Yeah, they got them. Yeah. They got Bill Hader as the Mooch, which was... perfect.
Yeah, it was like topical, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. That's, I think, I mean, those two guys, I think, doing a topical show, doing a topical sketch news show could be really, really
funny. I used to not like them at all. They're starting to grow on me. Man. But, man, those first couple seasons they were on, I was like,
well, they're just fine. You got to find your footing.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a weird, like, it was, so it was Seth and Amy. And then it was just Seth.
And it was Seth. I mean, Seth sat behind that desk for like 12
years.
That
was his only gig.
Yeah.
He was, I guess he was writing.
He was the head writer for the show as well.
And then it was Seth and Cicely. And then it was just Cicely. And then it was
Cicely and Colin.
Right. And then it was, and then they got rid of her and brought in Che.
Michael Che, yeah.
And now it's them.
Yeah, they're growing on me.
Yeah, you got to, once you find your, once, and I think they've found their rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, I think they're very funny.
Well, I have to say, Lorne Michaels, not that we didn't already think he was a genius, but to see the potential in Fallon, because when those first couple
that
weeks
guy
of Fallon,
couldn't keep himself together that, on a skit to save his life.
Yeah, that was one of the problems, and I was like, how is he going to do a talk show? And if you remember those first few weeks, it was rough. He looked so nervous, and it was so awkward. Fallon.
Was that the one where everybody kept coming out and putting money on his desk? Where he had all the celebrities, and they were just like, didn't think he'd make it a week.
Yeah.
And like, they were putting, like, you know, they had some big name celebrities.
Yeah.
Was he's the one that brought back, what's Joan? No.
Rivers.
Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers had been banned from the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Because she went and started her own late night talk show on Fox. Because
she thought she was going to get the Tonight Show.
So she was in line to get the Tonight Show.
Well, and her and Carson were real good friends at one time.
What's that?
Her and Carson were real good friends. He always had her on the show, and
Carson liked her as a performer. Carson wasn't real good friends with anybody.
Yeah.
Carson was a dick, and Carson didn't have real good friends.
Yeah,
you know, but he liked her and used her a lot. Yeah. Absolutely. And she was kind of poised to be the replacement whenever he went.
And
nobody knew when that day would come.
She replaced him, like, in Burt's, right? Like,
she filled in.
She was his fill-in.
Yeah.
So, like, back then, this sounds alien to people now, but back then, instead of repeats, when Carson would go out, would take a break, there would be guest hosts,
right?
You know, and so people that guest hosted the Tonight Show over the years, and Bob Newhart did a bunch of them.
Oh.
Bill Cosby did a bunch of them. The first, well, I mean, but he was good at it.
Yeah, sure,
you know?
No, I believe it.
Who else did a bunch of them? Jerry Lewis did a bunch of them. You know, but he would do that. In fact, the first
Ed McMahon,
no,
the poor Ed,
the first guest host for Carson. Any idea?
What year?
This would have been probably like the mid-60s, I guess, is when he took that over. Mid to late 60s.
Can't think of it.
Bud Abbott.
No.
Lou Costello.
Lou Costello died in like 1955. But yeah. But you're on the right track.
Groucho Marx
was the first guest host. And Carson's logic was, he goes, if Groucho comes out and it just crushes it, there's no way he'd ever agree to do a nightly talk show.
Sure.
And there's no way that they could afford him to do a nightly talk show. And if he's better than me, everybody's going to be like, well, yeah, of course. It's Groucho Marx.
Yeah.
And he's like, but if he comes out and tanks, and then it's like, well, wow.
Johnny Carson's pretty good.
Johnny Carson's better than Groucho Marx.
Yeah.
And so he's like, there was no, like, that was kind of his fail safe.
Pretty slick.
And the ratings would stay up while he was gone because they had Groucho Marx. So it was like a win-win. Like,
he
gave him somebody that they could never get and that, you know, wouldn't end up taking his job, because at the beginning it was
who did he come after?
Well, he came after,
there was like a run.
Sure. Well, so the first host of the Tonight Show was Steve Allen.
Right.
Okay. Then Steve Allen left, and they did some guest hosts, and then it landed on Jack Parr, and then Jack Parr left, and they did a bunch of guest hosts, kind of trying people out.
Did somebody get in trouble?
Ernie Kovacs was a guest host.
All
right. Ernie Kovacs was a big influence on Letterman. You're probably thinking
the Smothers Brothers.
I don't think the Smothers Brothers ever hosted it. But you're probably thinking in terms of getting in trouble is Jack Parr. They told him he couldn't use the phrase water closet.
Yeah.
Which
okay.
is like a fancy European word for toilet.
Hmm.
And he came, and Jack Parr was very emotional, and like just in general, he was a very like emotional guy.
Right.
And he came out and he was like, I can't do this. They're censoring me. And he quit, and the show was live. So he walked off on live television, and his Ed McMahon at the time was, Hugh Downs, who you would eventually know as the host of 2020 for like 30 years.
Okay, I know that. I know that show exists.
Yeah, and but yeah, he hosted 2020 for like,
okay.
I mean, he was the original host and hosted it until like, man, the late 90s
they
maybe.
They took it off the air?
It's still on.
No. Is it really?
Yeah. It's a news program. It's still on. It's just different hosts now. But,
all right.
And he had to step in on live TV and fill
in. Just like, wow.
And then they finally...
Just me? Okay, great.
Yeah, and then the guy directing the show that night was a guy by the name of Hal Gurney, who would go on to direct the early Letterman episodes. You might remember him from a segment that they used to do on Late Night with David Letterman called What's Hal Wearing?
Yeah.
And they would cut to him, and he would always be wearing chinos. Yeah. And it was always the same thing. So that's Hal Gurney.
Oh, that's great.
And
we can all admit that Letterman's way better than Leno, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't get the people that like Leno, and yeah. I'm sure there's a handful of them listening, but I'm just like, he's not funny.
Yeah.
No, he
Letterman
was,
used to be
a stand-up.
As a stand-up, he was amazing.
But he always came off... So I've always felt not even that, but like man. He was better than everybody else.
Yeah.
So Letterman, Carson, Letterman, and Fallon all have that everyman quality.
Yeah.
And that's what is... Like, to me, that's what's appealing and funny. But Leno never had it. Like, Leno was just like, I make more money than you. I have 19 billion cars.
Something about him, yeah. But Letterman, just hilarious. I loved all his
Letterman
bits
was just like, I'll never forget. I was watching the episode when Drew Barrymore flashed him.
Yeah.
And, sure. Like, the look on his face where he's just like, yeah, those are boobs. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Like, he was just, like, so chill and so just like, all right, well,
moving
on.
Well, I appreciate that. You did just ruin E.T. for me.
What did you guys think about the Joaquin Phoenix thing when he kicked him off the show because he got close to kicking him? Like,
I think that was all an act.
I don't know, because you got to remember.
No, he was pretty mad.
You got to remember, that's happened to Letterman before.
That happened with Jerry Lawler and
Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman. Yeah. So that was all a work.
What's
None
that?
Of that was real.
But okay,
Letterman didn't know that.
But
though.
Letterman didn't know that, and so I think
then we only found out that it wasn't real
like 20 years later,
like 6 months
Jerry
ago.
Jerry Lawler just finally said.
Jerry Lawler just said he's like no, like all of that was a work. That was all. But it was all his idea.
But as far as Letterman, like,
and he also had something like that happen with Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I mean, so that's happened to him before, and I think he probably doesn't have a lot of patience for.
You know,
it.
I think. Well, that. I think the Crispin Glover one's worse, and that's the one that really sticks out in my mind because he did come out trying to do like karate moves, and he's like, he almost kicked me, and like, I don't know. I watched it, and it was obviously an act, and like to me, I mean, I wasn't there, and I wasn't being David Letterman, but I just think that it was a little bit of an overreaction to Crispin Glover. But do you think he like feared because he was so weird? Like,
I think Crispin Glover was just far enough out there in left field, that he may have been like, this can go off the rails right now, and it's my show, and I got to step in. Because
I mean,
he
kicked him off, and he came back for break, and he's like, he was just like totally weirded out by it, and just like he seemed fearful.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. When you watch it now, it's like, I don't think it was that bad, but I don't know.
I think that those shows are very tightly, they're scripted. I mean, they're, you know, they know what stories they're going to tell.
Right.
They know
what
anecdotes they're
going to.
So there's, I mean, even though it feels conversational and in the moment, you know, there's a lot of, they do a lot of pre-interviews where producers talk to the guests beforehand to kind of
don't bring this up, don't talk about that,
or like, you know,
questions,
do you have an interesting story, the anecdote that you want to share?
I can totally talk about when Jimmy Fallon brings stuff up too, and he's not the best about it, you're just like, oh yeah, they've never talked about this before, you know. They're so coincidentally like perfect,
right? And that's been in place. I mean, Carson used to do that, you know,
totally.
But
just some people are better at hiding it than others,
and Carson was a master.
But
I think as soon as he probably
goes off the rails,
as soon as he started to veer off script, and he was just like, I don't like what this is happening. So
cool.
There's
a box office report.
Get back to the box office report.
Oh, it's fine.
I'd be our longest tangent ever.
So coming in at number three, The Nut Job 2 Nutty by Nature made $8 million.
Is that really what it's called?
The Nut
Nutty by Nature. Wow.
Now, we did have a friend of the show, Brad Heehan, review this for VSTL.
What did he ever do to you?
So please go to reviewstl.com and read his review. He had to go see this thing. So just
like hazing. Like if you want to write for Review STL,
welcome, new guy.
He is the newest writer.
Gotta do the nut job. And but, he was like, please tell me that's the name of a movie.
That's the name of a movie, right? I don't have to actually do a nut job.
Oh. So, yeah, I, Katherine Heigl's in this, so I guess.
What? Katherine Heigl's in a bad movie?
I'm shocked. The hell you say? What was that one that we did that we were just like,
Unforgettable?
That was like, maybe that's her new role.
Yeah, I honestly
playing crazy person.
No,
yeah, I think
I like
so.
Yeah. I mean, the crazy mean spirited bitch.
Right. Yeah, huh,
okay. Sounds about right.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah,
written by Seth Rogen. But
did you know that that was supposed to be Anne Hathaway?
No,
she did not want to do the birthing scene. So they're like, "You're fired."
Huh?
Did she know she didn't really have to give birth?
Maybe not. She's like, "I don't want to show my vagina." I don't think Katherine Heigl showed her
vagina.
Would
that be called B roll or would that be called V roll?
I think that. Well, I mean, if you go a little bit lower, yeah. It's B roll.
It's V roll.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. It's B roll. It's as you go down. Yeah. It's B roll, V roll, and then B roll,
and then B roll again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought that was BH reel. I don't know. But anyway, the original nut job actually made $64 million domestic, $56 million overseas, so $120 million. But it did have an opening weekend of $20 million. This had an opening weekend of $8 million.
Whoops.
So I'm guessing this is not the sequel that people, even kids, were clamoring for.
Especially when it's pretty soft for kids movies.
Yeah,
there's
not
a lot of competition
there.
In
there. No, I mean, there's the Emoji Movie with a 6% that's been lambasted, which made a ton of money.
Which is ridiculous.
And then there's
absolutely ridiculous.
And then there's The Nut Job, which the first one wasn't great, but like, it was a serviceable kids movie.
Who put that out?
That's Open Road is the distributor.
Okay.
I don't know who the other animator is. I'm trying to look on the poster.
It's not like Blue Sky or anything.
No, I don't think it is. But anyway, yeah, it's Open Road, so it's not one of the you know, the big three or that generally
is there a big three?
Well,
I mean, it's like Sony and Disney.
No, DreamWorks, Disney,
oh, DreamWorks,
and Pixar.
Yeah, right on. Okay,
because I mean,
okay.
You got to separate Disney and Pixar.
No, you don't. They're all the same.
No, but we still separate them. The new Pixar movie's coming out, and then a Disney
animated
movie. I
guess I put
that
under the umbrella.
Yeah, they own them, but we still think of them as
okay.
You know, when we talk about Pixar properties and all that. But I mean, yeah.
Yeah. How about that Disney Netflix?
Smart move on their part. I mean,
yeah.
they have an entire channel that for what, 25 years, the Disney Channel pumping out content.
Yeah.
So they have an entire back catalog plus all their DCOM movies, plus Marvel, plus Lucasfilm, like
plus Pixar.
If there's any studio that can pull it off, and especially because they're the only studio that doesn't have, to the best of my knowledge anyway, that doesn't have their catalog kind of split up, you know.
Oh, it's all under the umbrella.
I
forgot they had the Muppets.
Yeah,
yeah. All that
maybe
stuff.
Warner Brothers still has all theirs, but like I know MGM is all like the pre-1953 MGM stuff went over here, and then the Bond stuff is over there, and you know what I mean.
That
like
is yeah, you're right.
And you know, where I don't think Disney has any of those
Disney
issues.
Owns all
so
their,
they have all those.
So they were just like, no.
Yeah.
No.
And
was it Touchstone?
Touchstone.
So they've got all the Touchstone stuff?
Touchstone was their,
like a adult, quote unquote, adult.
Basically at the time, like if Disney made a PG movie, everybody just pooped themselves. And so
and now they can't make anything less than a PG
now it's
movie.
Almost impossible to make a G movie, like because it has to be so milquetoast. But
right.
And so they wanted to make PG movies, PG live action movies that were more targeted for grown-ups, not dirty, but just, you know. And
The Sixth Sense was Touchstone.
No, I think that was New Line.
I think that was New Line.
It was like Buena Vista Touchstone.
Oh, it was a Buena Vista movie. Yeah. Oh.
Splash was their first one.
But Splash was their first one. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. That
I mean, it's Buena Vista, so I mean that's still Disney.
Yeah, that I thought that was like their distribution arm.
Hang on. See if it says Touchstone somewhere on there. I swear The Sixth Sense. Maybe I'm just thinking Buena Vista, but
Hollywood Pictures.
Oh,
that was the and it was distributed by Buena Vista.
Gotcha.
Okay,
and Hollywood was another. Maybe that was their R-rated arm because then they also for a while Disney owned Miramax,
right?
And so like they would always
get
in trouble.
There's a great Dogma story.
Yeah, whenever like Pulp Fiction came out, how could Disney make a movie like this? Like they're not putting it out with
they're
Mickey Mouse on top
company.
Of it.
They own things.
They're a multinational conglomerate.
I think the deal with that is Kevin Smith was like. He said, "Oh, how dare you put that out?" and blah blah blah. And then it went to it went to the Weinsteins.
Yeah,
and they were just like, "Woo!" And he's like, it's still coming out.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, but Disney's not doing it.
Ugh, it's silly. Like,
all right, whatever.
Yeah, it's stupid. But
it's like, it's got a rubber poop monster in it.
Yeah. but where were we in the
just Touchstone?
Touchstone. Yeah. So they had all these all sorts of different companies for it. They owned Hollywood Records as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was owned by Disney.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Coming in at number four, The Dark Tower, the movie of last week. It has made another $7.4 million, which is a 61% drop in week two, $33 million domestic on a $60 million budget.
I read an article on Hollywood Reporter that was just, the title was, how does Idris Elba keep getting screwed over?
Yeah.
Just like,
'cause he's such a great actor.
Well, it's just like the movie where he's supposed to be a grizzled gunslinger fighting the devil should have been it.
Right? Yeah.
Like, he should not have to work anymore.
But yeah, you make the main character a little kid that no one
cares
about.
That's exactly what it was. It was like, but we focus on this idiot kid.
That's what I'm saying. When you've got this property, and, you know, go listen to last week's episode, but you've got this property about the gunslinger. The book's called The Gunslinger, and he's this badass. And then you make a movie that has, like, two action scenes, and it's all about this kid in a generic, you know, childhood home where the mother doesn't believe him and the bad stepdad's like, what? No, The Gunslinger. Make it about the gunslinger.
I want to see the guy shoot stuff.
It was bad. So
he'd be slinging guns at any point?
No. Perfect. He's gonna walk around with this whiny kid. Awesome.
We see him reload his gun more than you see him shoot the gun somehow. They're just like just focusing on the reloading.
Yeah, like, were the bullets expiring?
Yeah,
like, why I don't understand.
I gotta change out my bullets.
You know, that director was like, hey, I saw Wanted and I like that curb the bullet thing.
Yeah.
That was another deal that got signed. Did you see that deal?
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit.
Did we?
Yeah.
Miller.
Yeah, they signed. They made a big deal. They're like, Disney, Warner Brothers picked up DC, and Disney signed Marvel, and now Netflix has Miller World.
Did the deep voice movie guy come back from the dead to say,
this is
Disney
what we did.
Signed Marvel?
And then, but I was like, I don't think it's on the level of Disney signing Marvel.
That's a press release.
Yeah. But it was an interesting move.
Yeah, it'll be cool to see it stuff.
If they're actually $20 billion in debt, but I don't know how that works.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's what I thought.
Like, that's like, they're,
you gotta spend money to make money.
Amazon did the same thing. And honestly, like, it's a ballsy move, but I think ultimately it's probably a smart move, because the reason they're so far in debt is because they're funneling this money into creating content,
right?
Because they know these studios are all chomping at the bit to start their own streaming services. So they're about to hit a patch where
Now it's just them.
Yeah,
them and Amazon and Hulu.
Yeah,
like,
and they're gonna you know, and CBS is starting theirs, or long as with all the Star Trek stuff is gonna be on.
I signed up for that 2 years ago because Star Trek was coming out.
Yeah. And I think
it's coming
out now, right?
It's delayed.
Again?
To 2018.
Oh. But they're launching all that stuff, and so they're gonna start losing all that studio content, and so they know they need to have their own content or they're screwed. So they're getting out in front of it.
Right? And they also have to pay millions upon millions of dollars to license these contracts for 3-6 months with their own content. They don't.
Well, once they pay for it, they're done.
Right,
it's always there.
Every dollar they invest in a production, whether it be a $10 or $20 or $50 million production, is $5 million they don't pay to Disney for these movies.
Right.
$10 million they don't pay to Warner Brothers.
They're going
to
save a bunch of money on Disney here in a little bit.
Definitely. So I think it's a smart move in the long run. You know, they just have to keep putting out content and good content.
And they've been putting out good
content. They have been,
absolutely. Number five, Girls Trip, still making good money here. $6.4 million, a 44% drop. That's $97 million in week four. That was in $5 million overseas. But the bigger story here is almost $100 million worldwide on a $19 million budget.
Wow.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely connecting with audiences, and it must be a fun movie. I know that none of us have still seen it, but
we're not exactly the demo.
I don't think that's the,
but
being men, although it looks good. I want to see it.
I think of the same way that, like, we've seen
Moms.
And Bridesmaids and, you know, whatever movies like that. But
which I saw a trailer for the new Bad Moms, where it's just like set at Christmas time.
Did you ever see it?
Yeah, I liked
it. That is hilarious.
It's very funny. Like, I like the three of them together had really good chemistry.
Because I think I was the only one that saw it. I came on the podcast and we were talking about something else, and I'm like, Bad Moms was really funny.
And we're just like, whatever, Kevin.
Yeah, and so at least you
go have another beer.
Those guys are great. Those the three
They're
I
girls,
guess
Kevin.
Well, it's 2017, Joe. Everyone is equal, okay? But
when you're Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis and Kristen Bell, and then the other gal, I can never remember her
name.
She
was the campaign gal on Parks and Rec.
Yeah,
whoever she is. Yeah, you'll know her if you saw her.
The one that Leslie Knope was.
Yeah, she was the campaign manager. Yeah.
So anyway, but no, they're great. So it should be fun. Number six, the Emoji Movie. Third week in release, 6.1 million is a 49% drop, but it's already made 63 million. That's about 50 million more than The Nut Job right now. So they're happy about that. Another 12 million overseas. So we're looking at around 75 million on a $50 million budget.
You send Brad to review that one too?
No.
We should do it now.
Brad, we need you to go see this, and we'll give you $6. Yeah. But
it's not even enough for my ticket.
What?
He sees it daytime.
I guess that's true.
Those are $4 someplace.
Does Brad talk like that?
I wouldn't know.
Wait, he's been playing a lot of Mafia 3. Yeah. That was like an old-timey.
Yeah, see?
But, the Emoji Movie 75 on a 50, so, I mean, I'm not saying it's doing crazy numbers, but better than you'd think a 6% movie would have made at this point.
That
movie
is fair.
Emoji Movie 2.
No, it's going to be the ASCII text character movie. You know?
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. Did you see James Gunn made a pretty funny comment about the reviews? And he's like, oh, there goes my Wingdings movie. But it looks like it all works out. Maybe he'll get it done after all.
Maybe.
Number seven, Spider-Man Homecoming with 5.8 million in its 6 week in release. That's only a 34% drop. I had people on Facebook this weekend, with nothing else to see.
Like, why not?
Yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
34% drop puts it at $306 million in 6 weeks, and it has another almost $400 million, about $380 right now. So we're approaching the $700 million worldwide on a $175 million budget.
I love it.
That's great.
And it's a good movie.
It's great.
It deserves it.
Absolutely.
It
was a lot of fun. Guardians is out.
Digital, out, and then another couple weeks or week and a half, it will be on Blu-ray.
Yep.
So, that should be good. A lot of good bonus features I'm hearing about.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I can't wait to see the outtakes. You know, those guys are so funny. Chris Pratt and, all the chemistry between everyone. So,
yeah, he was, dealing with some heartbreak. Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That is sad. You know what I thought was funny? You know all the Love is Dead that was going around Facebook when Chris Pratt and everyone said that? I'm like, how often did you share and post about Chris Pratt and Anna Faris where you're like this is love? The reaction to
the one that's going
to
get me is like Annette Bening and Warren Beatty.
No, Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
One's going to sting.
They're not married, are
they? They're not married.
No, they're not, but a break.
Or like Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel.
Whichever one.
They haven't been together that long.
Whatever.
Yeah. But I'm saying there's like Alba and Biel, and I can't ever.
It's not Alba.
Yeah.
What's so weird, though, about those two is that.
Which two?
The two. Chris Pratt and. Yeah, there we go. Is that they did seem like just head over heels.
They did.
With each other.
They did. Yep. And a lot of cute posts.
And recently.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like it, as recently as, like, what, April?
Yeah.
Like, they.
Like, when they were training for.
Yeah, and she gave
Guardians.
She gave that speech when he got the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She would look at him like she was still just moon-eyed, and so
and pictures. She shares pictures.
Maybe
she
should have won Best Actress.
Yeah, but she always shared pictures with him and the kid. Like, look at the best dad and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, very recently, I agree. They did seem great, and I'm not demeaning any of that.
Yeah.
I thought they were a very cute couple, and they did seem in love and all that. I just, the way the internet said love is gone forever. I've never ever heard these people talk about love or emotions or even that couple, and then love is dead.
Love
is dead.
Love
is dead. But I'm like, okay, please, for the love of...
it's not... I mean, well, no.
Whoever came up with that PR campaign for Love is Dead, like, they're geniuses because they got people to say it that I've never heard, So
it was weird, though. Like, I think one of our listeners said that, like...
Love is Dead?
They also said that, yes. But, like, the idea that she had married the lovable schlub...
Yeah,
and now all of a sudden
he was Julianne Jordan.
It could have,
that it was like she married
married Andy Dwyer.
She married Andy Dwyer, and now she married to
Star-Lord.
Jurassic
World guy.
Yeah, and it's just like, that would change a dynamic. Yeah. I could see that.
And you think it was Jennifer Lawrence?
Oh,
that's what they're saying on Passengers. People think it was Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt that broke up. Or Jennifer Lawrence.
I mean, but she's dating.
I'm not gonna lie.
She's dating Darren Aronofsky.
Who is
Jennifer Lawrence?
Get out of here.
Yeah,
Joe's jealous. Darren
it has
Aronofsky.
Been for a while. Yeah. I think.
Well, it makes sense why she's in his new movie.
But I, we really have to make sure that Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence don't get together.
We can't have a Ryan Reynolds.
They will breed a new race of superhumans that will completely obliterate regular people like us. Like, we will just become enslaved by the spawn of Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt.
Yeah, it's like Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. Like that union should have never happened.
You can't be that good looking and that good natured,
right?
And then take another person that's good looking and then breed them.
Put them together.
Jesus Christ! Have you never seen like a horror movie?
This is Earth the whole time.
Yeah. Oh my God! No.
No.
Yeah. So we're all Darth Vader. Yeah.
No. But so I don't know. But it is sad news, and love is dead. So number eight.
As the three married guys.
With three married guys with five marriages between them.
That's but true. You know what, though? It was all hinging on Chris Pratt and Anna Faris. That was it. I mean, I just got married, but once I saw those
it's
two
over.
Were over,
it's over.
I'm on my keyboard. Love is dead. Yeah, that was it.
I'm sure Kenny's like, no, you're dead. Like, that's...
Like, well, I'm restarting my Tinder.
No,
swipe right.
No, she's the one that shared it first. Love is dead.
Well,
to everybody.
She's the one that restarted her Tinder.
Number eight, Kidnap. This is a movie that was on the shelf since 2014. Did you guys know there was a new Halle Berry movie
so
out?
The only reason I knew that is I went to the Galleria to see not The Dark Tower, but whatever
movie.
No. Whatever we did before that.
Yeah.
And they had a poster for Detroit, which I was like, oh, that looks really cool.
And then Halle Berry.
And then it was like
Kidnapped.
Right next to it was like the 3D poster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the cardboard one. Yeah. No, the car, like a cardboard stand up.
Oh, actually 3D. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, Halle Berry?
Yeah.
What is this?
This movie was filmed in 2014 and sat on the shelf for, 2.5-3 years. It was a Relativity, who I guess filed bankruptcy, so a lot of their stuff in that time period just kind of, it had to be sold off and all that stuff. So all of a sudden here, 2.5 years later, they release it, and it's this movie which is basically like Taken with a soccer mom.
Is Liam Neeson?
She doesn't have a very particular set of skills, although the writers...
She has two skills.
The writers...
Controlling the weather.
Exactly.
Oh, I was talking about
that. You know what lightning does to a toad.
Yeah. Poor Joss Whedon.
but so the thing is that the writing in this movie is atrocious. I did see it because I was so intrigued. I had to see what this
Wait
movie
a minute.
Was.
You saw this movie over the movie of the week?
Yeah.
Dumbass.
I was so intrigued. I had to see this movie. I'm like, why is a Halle Berry movie shelved for 3 years? And why?
Because it's not 1997.
Yeah. I was like, when was the last time she had a hit?
Right. But then they just released it. So I'm like, hold on, what is going on here? So the movie's like Taken. The writing is horrible. And they try to give her some speeches like Liam Neeson has, but she's not Liam Neeson. But basically she's a mom who, I mean, it honestly is one of the scariest things you could ever think about is turning your head. You know how kids run around. Turn your head. She takes a phone call. She looks back. Her kid's gone. She's running all over the park asking other moms at the playground, have you seen this boy? And they build up the tension. And then she walks over to the parking lot and she sees an abductor putting her kid in the car and they speed off. Like, just a terrifying thing that I think as parents we could all relate to. I mean, that is a horrific thing.
It would depend on the kid.
Yeah. So anyway, she clings onto the car as it's driving out of the parking lot and actually holds onto it as it's, dragging her behind. She eventually has to let go, but she runs to her van. She gets in the van, and then basically it's like a one-man show from there. It hardly ever leaves this van. She chases this car through the streets onto the highway. I mean, she is like, again, this is the Tim Moore Taken part of it.
Yeah.
It's like she's like, I am not going to stop chasing you. She gets in some crashes. Eventually, the guy confronts her when she kind of knocks him off the road through a series of events. And she's like, just give me my kid back. I'll forget this. But
they're like, no, because you're such a shitty driver. Your kid died 5 miles ago.
He's back there.
Yeah,
we tried to give him back to you.
Take him, for good Lord.
But so anyway, she's like, I'm not going to stop chasing you. You will, until I get him back. And so it's just a big chase scene. But I will say the action's pretty decent. Halle Berry, I mean, she is an Oscar-winning actress. She does a good job with the emotions and, you know, the loss of a child and trying to get him back. It was entertaining. Anytime there was dialogue where it was like before the chase scenes and afterwards where, you know, she's talking to other people in a police station along the way and stuff, I'm like, this is bad. But it was fun for the chase scenes. And I mean, I'd say if it's on TV or something, you know, check it out. It's a pretty fun movie.
No.
Fair enough. But I was just like thinking it was a big piece of trash because it was shelved for 3 years. But honestly, I think it was just the bankruptcy thing.
When was the last time she did have a hit?
It's a great question.
Is it Monsters Ball? I mean, that's what she won the Oscar
for. I don't know about a hit, but yeah. I mean, you know, definitely hasn't done anything big since then.
No. She's kind of like Cuba. Like, yeah. Cuba won that Oscar for Jerry Maguire, and then he did, like, Men of Honor, which was really good.
Yeah.
And then...
Seriously, it's just been...
Boat Trip.
It's been those X-Men movies, where obviously that's not a show of her talent. You know, she had Catwoman along the way.
That's the one that killed it. Like, I think that's the one that put the...
And that was, like, right at the same time as Monsters
Ball. It was. I think she's the first person to win, like, the Oscar and the Razzie in the same year.
You know, Sandra Bullock did.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, because
what did she win an Oscar for? The Blind Side?
Blind Side.
And then what did she win a Razzie for?
That, what was the movie called? It was where she was like the nerdy girl trying to get this guy and chasing him all over the place. And
Miss Congeniality?
No.
Oh. I know what you're talking about, but she accepted it too, didn't she?
She did. She showed
it. It was pretty cool.
So did Halle Berry. Yeah, Halle Berry was like, I would like to say F you to my agent.
Nice. But Kidnap is in its second week in release. It made $5 million, which is a 49% drop. $20 million domestic. I think that someone bought the movie for $5 million.
I was going to say, they can't pay too much for the movie, so they're probably doing fine.
No, so I mean, it was a $5 million buy, so it's made 20 in 2 weeks. I mean, they're happy with that, I'm sure. Yeah. So, and like I said, it's a fun movie. I think audiences that just want to kind of check out and see some action scenes will enjoy it. Number 9, The Glass Castle. What is that?
No idea.
No idea.
Okay. Brie Larson, Woody Harrelson, Naomi Watts.
I mean, that's a legit cast.
Yeah. It is. Must be maybe not a totally limited release, but it may be one that hasn't. It says opening weekend 1,400 theaters, so half of what a blockbuster would generally release as.
It's Lionsgate, so it's probably some sort of art house thing.
Yeah, so I haven't heard much about it, but $4.9 million on its first week, but again, probably an art house with a lower budget. So anyway, I guess.
She's Captain Marvel.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is.
And rounding out the top 10, Atomic Blonde. $4.3 million is a 47% drop in week 3. It has a $42.5 million domestic take and another about 10 overseas. So we're looking at $52 million on a $30 million budget.
That's all right.
It's a fun... It's a cool movie. Did either of you guys end up seeing that?
Okay. I did not see it.
It's good. I like the style. I mean, it's the John Wick, one of the John Wick guys. So
I'm with it.
It's great action scenes. Joe, you'll dig it for the action stuff.
Yeah,
certainly.
I wanted to see it.
Yeah. So
I guess Wonder Woman's out of the top 10, huh?
Yeah, it's about time, but it did break some more records. That thing made a ton.
Yep.
It broke some domestic records of sorts. I can't remember if it was something for female director or what it ended
all
up being.
All of them?
Yeah, I mean, it's over $400 million in 11 weeks right now. So, and that's just domestic,
Yeah.
So it's a huge success for that film. And I think you can't help but to think that's why Justice League went through all those
complete reshoots.
Yeah.
So that movie comes out in 2 months.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They're still reshooting stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they've changed the ending. They've changed the character. The whole character has been completely revamped.
Articles are coming out saying that there's a lot less Zack Snyder than they originally thought. So, Joss is pretty much...
I have a feeling Darkseid was going to be at the end of this, and he's not anymore.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah, I hope it's good.
Wait for the 6-hour director's cut that comes out on Blu-ray.
I hope they can turn this around, though, and save the DC.
They found the formula with this one.
Yeah.
If they just stick with that, they'll be all right.
Yeah. So
we'll see.
We'll see. But for now, that's the box office.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett and at ReviewSTL.com, where you can read the Nutjob 2 review by Brad.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you want to continue the conversation online, you can do so at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. You can also find us on iTunes. Rate, review, subscribe. You can also find us wherever finer podcasts are sold. And by sold, of course, we mean given away for free. So it's not just an iTunes thing. So go to all those places, Stitcher and Google Music and all that
iTunes,
stuff.
iTunes, all that good.
Well, I already said iTunes. I'm saying the other non-iTunes places.
Zunes R Us.
Acast. Zune, the Zune Store.
Store.
The Double Zunes.
Sure.
Which is called like street corners in some random Asian country where, you know, they're selling these like full of 20,000 preloaded songs.
So
3,000 songs.
This is crazy. So anyway, yeah, so that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next episode, we will tackle Annabelle, which is easy because it's a little tiny doll. Oh, or could be.
She's a 6-year-old. Oh, that's my kid. But
anyway. Oh, okay. So until then, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.